Hey everybody, and welcome to Memento, a podcast by Washington Avenue Christian Church. See, here at Washington Avenue, sometimes we understand that we forget who we are, and sometimes we forget what we're supposed to do, and sometimes we even forget what we talked about on Sunday morning. So in an effort to remind ourselves of who we are and what we're supposed to do and what we talked about on Sunday morning, we bring you Memento. I got Jake back with me. You may or may not have noticed, but it's been a while since we've done anything with this, and the reasons for that are manifold. One of the folds is because I had a child. Another fold is because last week when we were supposed to record a podcast,
didn't have a child.
Jake was sick.
I was sick.
And also it was VBS, and there was no way that we were getting that done anyway. So, and the time before that, it was me and Lenny, not even Jake. Because Lenny preached, not Jake, so it was Jake, not Lenny.
Well, in celebration, we decided to match exactly.
Exactly. Can we show them that even our pants and shoes match? I don't know.
I think like
how do we do this effectively?
Like that.
Look at that. Totally matching as a way to
celebrate
the reunion and reignition of the podcast.
Yep.
Also, we've acknowledged this before, but this is what happens multiple times a week by Jake and I. So cool. So here's what we're going to do today is that we were in preparation for this. We realized that we've never had Jake on the podcast with us after Jake preached a sermon. And so we're actually going to not just go back to last week's sermon, even though it was great and you should go check that out. But we're actually going to go 2 weeks back to when Jake preached. And so we're just going to kind of talk through Jake's sermon with him, pull out some highlights and some lowlights because there were many of those. Just kidding. And go from there. So, Jake, first question. Here we go.
Right. For those listening, I made my weird smile face the whole time. What was the question?
I didn't ask it yet, but I'm about to.
Okay.
So, recently, actually, it was at preaching and teaching conference, which you were at with me. But you were in the youth ministry thing, and I was in the preaching thing, because that's how we do. Drew Sherman, in the preaching breakout, said, sometimes, and probably most often, the most important part of your sermon is that which you leave out or have to edit due to timing constraints or other things. So, with that in mind, like, is there anything that you left out of your sermon that you really, really, really wanted to talk about, but didn't maybe feel like you had the time or opportunity to?
Yeah, no, for sure. So, I think it was time, but also just like palpability. Is that a word?
I think you're making up words, but it's fine. We'll go.
I really wanted to talk about like the whole idea of like the truth and the lies. And I kind of mentioned, I used this language a couple of times, but like mental maps, in studying like for this, I just came across this idea of like trying to have the same mental map as Jesus.
Okay, so help those of us in the audience, like me, who aren't married to a counseling major. What is a mental map?
Yes. So again, I'm only married to a counseling major, so this is not like.
This is perfect. The Jake definition, not the odd definition.
Yes.
I understand.
But. Yeah. But essentially, it's like, and probably a word that you've heard before is like worldview. So it's a way of understanding reality, right? So like in the ways that you've been brought up, in the like circumstances that you've been brought up have like led you to believe this about reality. And like this is how you perceive reality, which... because of the fall is not ever exactly correct, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Because the fall is we're trying to define good and evil for ourselves. And how I would say that is like trying to define truth and the lie for ourselves. So the idea is like even my bottom line is to truly live in the rest or... to truly live is to rest in the truth of Jesus, right? So I didn't bring this up because it's kind of a lot of like concepts and it's harder to understand rather than the way that I presented it. But yeah, I just think that's cool.
Okay, so What I think that you're saying is that if you live in the truth of Jesus, your life will be fine, which to me sounds like a version of like a cognitive prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
So defend yourself.
When you say cognitive prosperity gospel, do you mean like if I think positive, then my
No, if I have the same worldview as Jesus, I won't be broken anymore. Bad things won't happen to me. Mm. Like I won't be influenced by the powers and principalities.
Yeah. Well, okay. So in the best way that I can defend myself is like, we still live in a broken world, right? So like we are incapable of perfectly being like Jesus, right? Like that's why Jesus exists, right? Like there wouldn't be a reason for Jesus if we could be Jesus. But the idea is like, when I look at the Bible, like I see who Jesus is and because I'm trying to be a disciple of Jesus, and a lot of the books that I'm reading right now say the word apprentice, because I'm trying to be an apprentice of Jesus, then I am trying to like replicate what Jesus does, thinks, and says in my own life. So I'm going to try and like think the same way that Jesus does. That does not mean that like bad things aren't going to happen. It's just like when bad things happen, I can think the way that Jesus does about those bad things, right? So like if my arm gets cut off, I don't know how Jesus would think about that, but he'd probably be like, you know what? The Father's going to redeem this.
Yeah, but maybe to tie everything back to your sermon, like if the powers and principalities are like temptations that we face, then like the way in which Jesus responded to temptations was by like being saturated with the word and answering like challenges with the word that pointed to something beyond our physical needs, which was a great tie-in to your fasting thing that maybe we'll talk about here in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sounds good.
It's a good answer. Yeah. It's a good
thanks.
Thought. Cool.
Thanks. I was like, I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, no, it's great.
It's like, yeah.
Cool. You issued a challenge to us. What was the challenge?
To try and fast one meal that week. I'm going to assume your next question and ask, why did I?
I have actually three tangential questions, but cool.
Send it.
All three at the same time?
Yeah, if you can.
No. why did you because when we talk about fasting, like we understand it like biblically, like it was food, right? That's kind of was the thing.
Yeah.
And so hopefully you won't cheat your way out of this answer by just saying that. But like culturally, we've accepted like multiple different ways of fasting. And if rest is the goal, then why did you give us such a specific challenge as food and not just like a more broad challenge of fast from something?
Because we're
something.
Fat Americans who require food. If you want me to be honest.
Sure.
I think we're very fat Americans who require a meal every 5 hours. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I think because I challenged us to do that because I found it so hard just to like not eat, you know, like I'm just so used to, you know, three meals a day with like maybe a piece of cake in the office, you know, in between, you know, because I'm trying to get through the day and like, yeah, like it's just a part of our culture to eat. It's probably more likely that they're eating like a big lunch and a big dinner and like not a breakfast. And it's like our proportion sizes are just like insane. It's just, and you know, most people have cell phones, you know, so if I was like, you should fast from your phone this week or whatever, but every single person eats, you know, so it's like, that's a lot. If I'm going to speak that to an audience or a congregation, that's a lot broader for everyone because everyone eats. So, yeah. I've been trying to spend more time in spiritual disciplines and spiritual practices, and that just happened to be one that I was working on. And I had done it a lot that week just to kind of prepare for Sunday. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to challenge everyone to do that, just see.
So was that initially like part of the sermon, or was that like a Holy Spirit Yeah, just kind of kicking the
kind of a Holy Spirit thing. Like however, like, and you, I don't know how you write your sermons, but like,
yeah, you do.
I do, but like, I like typically how mine works is like I write my outline, and then like past that, like I'm just flowing. Like I just write it. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of came out whenever I got to the application point.
But you had written it in.
Written it in my sermon.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So it wasn't just like.
Yeah, so at, Wednesday at that week, I knew.
8:58, no. When you're like wrapping up your sermon, you're like, hey, we should have them fast.
No, uh-huh. No, it was Holy Spirit inspired on Wednesday. Nice. Whenever I was writing the sermon. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you said that you fasted like leading up to that. Did like, what did you learn from that? And then the follow-up question is, did you like respond to your own challenge and like, having preached the sermon to yourself, how did, like, was your fasting experience different on the front side versus the back side of the message? Or did you glean different things from it? Like, that was like seven different questions.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, I had to ask a lot of questions because our Christian tradition, or at least no one's ever talked to me about it since I've been here. It's kind of like something that's like known, but we just like, I've never had a deep conversation about fasting before. Yeah. So I was I have like two books that I was reading about it, which if you want me to plug those books, I can. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. And then The Making of an Ordinary Saint by Richard Foster's son. But I don't remember his name right now. But his last name is Foster.
Yes.
But yeah, so I was reading about fasting. And then I actually texted a friend who... their church just talks about it a lot. So I was like, bro, like, how do I fast? And like, how often or like how long? You know, like, am I just supposed to go 24 hours without eating? Or is it just like a meal? And he's like, really, you can do whatever you want. And I was like, that's helpful. But it was, because I was like, he was like, you could just do lunches, you know, like just don't eat lunch all week or something. And so there's a couple of ways that I did it. I think I fasted like, I don't know, like eight meals that week. And it was just like, I just kind of woke up and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to eat today. But they were more spread out. Like it wasn't like I didn't eat for a whole day. It was like, I just didn't eat like dinner, if that makes sense. I don't know. I just learned that how much I do rely on food for like my happiness, or like I'm gonna put quote unquote happiness, because like the first day I was like really angry, you know, and like snappy, and just like saw how quickly I like my mood changed because I didn't have food. But then like the more times that I did it, it just became like a more like intimate thing with God. I was just like able to see and feel his presence more. But I was trying to be very careful and not like expect anything out of my fasting, you know, like I wasn't like expecting like revelation because I didn't eat, you know, a burger today. You know, like it was just like, I'm just gonna not eat. And
I think that's really important because sometimes I wonder if the reason that we don't do more spiritual disciplines more often is because somewhere along the way, and probably in like our Americanized production laden society, like we've been conditioned to think that you do something so that you get this
like results.
Product or result. Yeah. And like sometimes you just don't, and we don't because we don't like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's really good.
I heard this, there's like this monk who like was like a dishwasher, and I don't remember, but
okay, never
it was in this like Dallas Willard book, which I guess is like a guy that I need to read
if you're gonna do spiritual discipline stuff. Absolutely.
I've heard his name multiple times. They were talking about this monk who was like a dishwasher, and they were just asking him like how can you like feel the presence of God even when you're like dishwashing, you know? And he just said like, I just keep him in the forefront of my mind. And like, I'm trying to always practice the presence of God. And like, that's what I think fasting did for me, mm-hmm. was just like brought God to the forefront of my mind. Cause it was like, this is why I'm not eating, is to like spend time with God. So it just kind of made it easier to connect.
Yeah.
So that's but what it has led me to want to do is to like always keep God in the forefront of my mind, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, mm-hmm. I'm always practicing the presence of God.
Did you, like, just as an example, if you fasted at lunch, like, did you just like work right through the lunch hour, or did you like stop working like you would have having eaten lunch and fill that time with prayer or meditation or scripture reading, or like, did you supplement that lunch time with something else, or did you just power through? I don't think there's a right or wrong way.
Yeah, I think it was different since I did it so often, and I don't mean that in like a boastful way, but just like I just did. It was different every time, mm-hmm. but I think probably if we looked back, like I think I just worked through it. Mm-hmm. but it was still like just knowing that this is why I'm doing it. Like, I don't know how to explain that, but it was just like, if it was in the back of my mind, it was in the forefront mm-hmm. of my mind. So.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. It's really funny that we just like don't give fasting much credence at all, because like Jesus literally says like when you fast.
Yeah, when it's you like, fast.
Oh, maybe we should.
Yeah, yeah. Like, do oh, that that's a thing we should be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. Well, I'm gonna watch this video years from now, and I'm gonna say this now, and it's gonna be like, this is cool, but like, I really, really want to focus on spiritual disciplines and like spiritual practices, and like, there was a moment in This Is Us where Randall was talking to his mom over the phone, which I still haven't finished it, so don't say anything.
Okay, I won't say
anything. Randall was talking to his mom over the phone when he was like a kid, and it was like a joke, but he like bought her some cookies or something, and she was eating them, and he was like, don't eat them all. Like, you taught me that like sharing is caring, which is like, you know, not anything like extraordinary to say. Mm-hmm. But it just made me think about like parents teaching their kids. And like in that moment, I was like, I want to teach my kids more than anything to like love Christ and like to practice spiritual disciplines. Like, that's what I want to do. Like more than anything. Like, I don't care if they know how to play basketball or pay their taxes, but like, I want them to fast and like meditate and those sorts of things, you know? So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yep. So future Jake, hats off to you, bro.
Or do better.
Or do better. You suck.
We maybe diverted a little bit from your sermon, but it was really great. Like,
thanks, man.
And I'm just always so proud to like sit under your teaching, and
that's cool.
Yeah, thankful for
I can't your gift. What does that feel like? That's crazy.
I don't know.
Yeah,
figure it out.
Yeah, I will one day.
But yeah, it's really cool, and it makes me proud. And like, you're doing great and getting better, so
thanks, man.
Keep it up.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I will. Maybe you can attest to this as well, but the moment after preaching is so awkward. Like, I love it because everyone's so nice, but I like went to go get my backpack, and then it's just like a line of grandmas that are just like, you did so well. And I'm just like, I'm learning to say thank you.
Yeah.
And like, I appreciate it, but it's also just like,
No, thank you. I totally get it.
Yeah. When I see it happen every Sunday, like, Jim will stand there. I don't think he even means to, but like, he just goes to put his stuff down. And
just like, get caught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an awkward thing that I feel like only certain people understand.
Yeah. It's very select few of us.
Yeah.
Yep. I heard a story once. I think it was Matt Proctor. And this will be last thing, we got to wrap up. But Matt Proctor, one time he was like learning how to preach. He was like supply preaching in some country church. And he went up and did an awful job. And like some lady came up and was like, nice try.
Nice try. Oh, wow. Yeah. Dang. I don't know. I'd be like, thanks.
Thanks. Yeah. No, it's Proctor. So, you know, he makes it into a whole funny story.
And, yeah. That's like, amazing.
Yeah. he's an incredible preacher. So yeah. I'm sure like the sermon wasn't better than any sermon I've preached anyway. but yeah, great job. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, dude.
Good to be back with you. You're going to be in and out because contrary to normal summers, like July's the busy month now, not June. So you'll see Jake in and out with us as we continue to do these things.
Yes, sir. Hopefully we'll be matching again.
Guest appearances by some other people, which will be fun. Cool. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us on this little hiatus. Like I said, we were sick and having babies. So that was fun. We will be back next week with another episode. Next week is the last week of our Ephesians series, which is crazy because we've been doing this for like a year.
Right? Is that really how long?
Yeah, been? I think we started in August. Yeah, so like 11-month series, which has been great. So the plan and hope and dream is to have Jim on here with us next week talking about the Ephesians series as a whole and specifically about some about his sermon.
It's going to be awesome.
To wrap up. I'm excited about it. I hope you are too. If you enjoyed this and like it and subscribe and share it, that's the biggest thing to get people viewing out there. We're still tinkering and trying to figure out how to do this well, so we like appreciate your grace and patience. I don't know how I feel about it. We can talk more about it later.
Not
on camera anymore. Cool. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week.